I'm very happy now to welcome Linda Milanese. She's Executive Director of Assistance Dogs of the West, and Jenny Reichert. She is on the Youth Board of Assistance Dogs. She's a student trainer, a wonderful dog trainer, and we have an animal with us, a wonderful Labrador Retriever named...
Gilbert,
who's also with us. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
And every year you guys come back, different trainers often, and Assistance Dogs of the West is having its graduation, as it does every year in May. This Wednesday, the 15th of May at 6 in the evening at the Greer Garson Theater, tell us about some of the different kinds of assistance that the assistance dogs do.
We let our dogs choose their careers, and so they have many, many career paths. Some of the dogs that will be graduating this year, some are mobility dogs. There is a dog that works with a child with autism. There is a medical alert dog who works with a person who has diabetes. There is a facility dog that works with a courthouse facility dog, and they work with child advocates and special victims advocates. We also have another dog who works with an occupational therapist in animal-assisted therapy. Another dog works with a different kind of therapist, a play therapist. And so our dogs work in a wide range of careers. The only thing that we don't train for is sight and hearing.
No seeing eye dogs or hearing ear dogs.
No, because they're trained in an entirely different way.
Now, when you talk about a dog choosing its career, I mean, what do you mean? How do you do that?
Each dog shows us what their temperament is like, shows us what their propensity for work might be. And as a person comes to us and fills out an application and begins the interview process, depending on what their disability is or what their needs are, because obviously we do a lot of facility dogs, and those are for able-bodied people, the dogs interview with them, and they start to show us whether they like to work with a wheelchair or a power wheelchair is something that is extraordinarily scary, whether they have a really calm temperament where they might be able to sit or lay down in a witness box and help a young child, and they might have to lay there for 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
And their temperament is very calm and very resilient.
So you don't use the Jack Russells for that?
You don't use the Jacks for that, though. I bet you the Jacks might be good seizure alert candidates, you know, because they're so smart. They probably are good medical alert dogs because they have a lot of drive. A diabetic dog, you wouldn't want that super, super calm temperament, because if someone was going low, you would want the diabetic alert dog to keep poking at them, to keep accelerating until they actually paid attention.
And so the dogs, I mean, you have to be good trainers and you have to be really good observers of animals in order to really tell what the inclination is for each dog. You also have to choose the right dogs to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
How do you choose them, and where do you get these dogs?
We are very fortunate to have some of America's top breeders who we have worked with over the years. Gilly comes from a line of dogs in Bangor, Maine. They're champion hunting dogs. They have very, very beautiful, docile dispositions. And I think he's about the fourth generation of dogs we've had from that line. We also have this particular wonderful dog that's on our invitation.
Yes, the invitation has what looks like a golden lab on it.
Yes.
Beautiful dog.
He's a beautiful dog, Ranger Rick. And he comes from another line out of Mamaroneck, New York. Both of these breeders they work together and have probably 75 years of genetic understanding and breeding. So that what we call it is a purpose-bred dog. We have a knowledge of their temperament. We have a knowledge of what kind of work ethic they have, a knowledge of where they came from, their genetics, so that we know that physically they're very able and very healthy. We also we get some of the dogs and we keep the breeding females.
And so you do some breeding.
We actually send them back to the breeders. They breed them. They whelp the litter. They send us back the mama dog, and they donate two puppies.
Very interesting. So even, I mean, it's not something that you feel you could do yourselves because those breeders have a particular way of dealing with the puppies?
We do occasionally breed our own litters. We've bred three litters over the course of 18 years. We just bred a litter last year. This dog was the stud dog. And one of our other lines that comes from Colorado, who we also have had five or six generations of successful placements with those dogs, that was the mama dog. And she was actually the last breeding female of that particular line.
And so there are basically a lot of retrievers.
Yes.
So no shelter mutts.
We do shelter dogs. Absolutely we do. We do shelter dogs. We have wonderful relationships with all the shelters. When a dog comes in that they think might have the right temperament, because remember, our primary goal is to make sure that the dog that we are training wants to do service work. Not every dog in the world wants to be out in public. Not every dog wants to be paired up and be a working dog. And so we like to really make sure that it's the dog's choice, that that's what they'd like to do.
And when a dog doesn't, what does that mean? It wants a life of leisure?
Sometimes. Some of our dogs have become companion animals for families, which is a perfectly fine career. Some have
that's kind of a life of leisure.
It's kind of a life of leisure, depending on the family. Some of the dogs have gone to work for the Border Patrol because they have really, really high drive and they'd like to be a drug dog or a bomb dog. So really, if they choose not to be a service dog, there's lots of other places that they could be very, very successful. And all of that is perfectly fine for us. We just call it a career change.
It's amazing how much they're like humans.
Yes. They're... we kind of feel that it's really unexplored territory in terms of interspecies communication. Like,
yeah.
We've just scratched the surface.
I want to be a law enforcement dog versus I want to be a therapist versus...
Totally.
I mean...
And they really... it really is a moment of grace when they show us what they want to do. When they pick their person, we also let them pick their person. When they pick their person... their primary trainer could be in the room, and that dog only has eyes for the person they want to be with for the rest of their life.
Extraordinary. We're talking about Assistance Dogs of the West. Now, Jenny, you've been training dogs since you were 11 years old. How did you get into this? Did you have a natural calling, just as some of the dogs themselves also do?
Well, you might call it that. I saw the ADW advertisement in a newspaper. And anything with dogs gets my attention. So I just started to start with the student programs. And ADW is unique in the fact that they have these programs. Most other nonprofits that train service dogs only have professional trainers. But in ADW, they have classes of kids with developmental delays, young kids, and after-school classes. So I began with the after-school classes. And in those, it's a really great opportunity for the children to make a bond with the dog and do something worthwhile by giving it to a person that needs them.
And so this whole process of going through, I mean, how young are the dogs when you start working with them?
The program gets them when they're about 3 months old. They'll go into classes when they're 3.5 or 4 months after they've gotten their shots. And the student trainers will work through them up until what we call finishing, which is where the dogs have all their commands polished off and then they go to their person. So depending on how long the student themselves decides to stay in the program, they can work with the dog throughout its entire training period.
And you've done that?
I have. The dog that I worked throughout the entire time, her name is Bia. She was a Great Dane Labrador mix, one of the few mixes we've had in the program. And I worked with her from when she was very young up until she graduated.
And what kind of dog is she now?
She helps a man with muscular dystrophy. And he lives in Albuquerque. She's very great. She helps with opening doors, I think one of her coolest tricks is he has a difficulty raising his hand above a certain level, so she'll stick her head under his hand and pick it up so he can reach a doorknob. She'll go get Cokes for him out of the fridge. She'll pick up anything that's dropped. So what she does a lot of what we picture to be standard service dog work, but it's, of course, very helpful to him.
And it's a big dog, and it's good to have a big dog because that dog can open cabinets, open refrigerators, and all that kind of thing.
Yes, big dogs are very helpful, and it's also easier for them to reach the handicap buttons. But we have a Papillon who helps raise our puppies, and he is a mighty dog. He will pick up brooms for you. He can open doors. He can do pretty much anything a big dog can do, provided he can reach it.
What do you mean that the dog helps raise your puppies?
Well, our puppies need to have a very healthy respect of little dogs. And Riley, the Papillon, does this because he is mighty. He teaches them to sit down and behave themselves. So after puppies meet him, they never bother another little dog in their lives.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, how did you train the dog to open doors and refrigerators and all the things that you were talking about? I mean, I guess you had to be trained to do that kind of training to some extent.
Yes, in the classes, the trainers explain to the student trainers and demonstrate how to do that. ADW uses what's called the positive reward method to train the dogs. They use little devices, which is what I've got in my hand. They look like a rectangle with metal inside. They make a clicking noise.
Here, go ahead and click it. Ah.
And what that means, now I have to feed Gilbert, who's here. It means food. It means you've done something right, and you're about to get food. So these dogs learn from when they're very small puppies that when they hear that noise, they've done something right, they can advance on that. So if they so much as look at a tug strap, which is what they pull to open the door, then they get a click, then maybe they'd move a little closer, they get another click, they put their mouth on it, they get another, and so on until they learn that. And once the dog is doing it with 80% accuracy, we start putting the word to it. We don't immediately start saying tug. We wait until they're doing the action, so they see a tug strap, they pull it, and then we say tug.
Now, I would think that the dogs, just like human beings, when we do a job well, the dogs also have a kind of satisfaction. Does it seem like that to you?
Definitely. There are certain dogs, the rewards differ greatly. We have the golden retrievers who love being touched. We have the labs who love their food. So they get trained with those things that they like as rewards. And after that, once they have their person, it's really just the thrill of working for that person. And they won't need any treats all day long. So the deeper the bond with the person they're working with, the fewer food they need.
Have you ever had situations where the person who gets the dog is not kind to the dog?
No.
No. So basically, these are very good bonds, good people in the first place who you're working with.
And we have a very rigorous screening process. People need to fill out an application. They go through an assessment with our occupational therapist. Then they may interview for a dog for well over a year. So we are very careful about how we place the dogs, and we also reserve the right to take the dog back should anything happen.
But it doesn't.
But it doesn't. In 19 years, we've only ever had two dogs come back. One came back because it actually wasn't the greatest match, and the other dog came back because the woman went into a retirement home, and she actually wanted the dog to be able to work for someone else because the dog was really young, and so she went and worked for a 12-year-old girl.
Wow.
It was really moving because the woman who originally had the dog, at graduation, she was the person who gave the dog to the young person.
And that, to break that bond and say goodbye to that dog must have been so hard.
It was so hard. But she was, it's just like for us as trainers, everybody asks us, how do you raise a dog and keep a dog and then you give it up? But when they really find their person, and you can really tell when they found their person.
Right.
It's such an incredible thing that even though it's bittersweet and you will miss the dog, you feel so happy that they found what they really were looking for.
And then you've got a new generation of dogs.
Yeah, we do. We can always give you another one.
I mean, that's the beautiful thing about dogs, and when you lose dogs, it's so heartbreaking, and there's always another dog who will love you just as much as that one did.
Exactly, in a different way.
So what happens at Assistance Dogs of the West graduation?
Well, the main point of it is to show people the clients that these dogs go to. The student trainers that have been working with the dog longest will bring it out on stage and say a few words about what it was like to work with this dog, what the dog was like, and how they learned from training it. And then they'll pass it on to the person that this dog has been placed with. And then that person will say what the dog helps them with, what a big change it was to get it, and thank the student trainers and the professional trainers for their work.
It's really just a formal ceremony to acknowledge all the work that the students put into these dogs and to give them the opportunity to really take the leash and hand it over to the person. It's quite moving.
Linda Milanese is Executive Director of Assistance Dogs of the West. Jenny Reichert is student trainer and on the youth board. They are going to be at the graduation at the Greer Garson Theater on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, Wednesday the 15th of May. For more information, you can call the Lenzic box office at 988-1234 for tickets. You can also go to assistancedogsofthewest.org. I want to thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
And thanks to Gilbert.
I'm sure he would thank you as well, except he's asleep.